chapter 39. Several weeks ago, we began looking at the life of who? Do you remember? Samson? No. Noah? That was Sunday. I'm very impressed, though, Brother Tejada, that you remember Sunday's message and it's only Wednesday. That's impressive. Got it. Got it. I think somebody else may have said that as well. Which one? Which Joseph? That's right. That's right. That's right, Randall. Very good. Very good. Genesis 39. And that was, oh goodness, that was several weeks ago. I think we were actually in the basement when we first started it. And then, of course, last week we had Brother Flanders here. And that was a tremendous time, as we've been saying. And then the week before that, we had a lesson on Joseph as well. Well, this is the third one. And tonight, the theme of the lesson is never alone. Never alone. Who can tell me Joseph's father's name? Jacob. Very good. Jacob. All right. Who remembers what his mother's name was? Rachel. Okay. Jacob and Rachel. Very good. Okay. And who can remember the other son that Rachel had? Benjamin. I just wanted you to say Benjamin. That's kind of very prideful of me. But anyway, Benjamin, that's right. And we won't try to name all the other brothers right now. But Joseph's life has so much that we can glean from for our lives today. And this is, I'm hoping tonight will be a blessing and encouragement to you. Now, we are at a time and a place in Joseph's life, in Genesis chapter 39, where he could really have said, where is the Lord? You know, where's God? I haven't really done anything to get into this predicament where I am, but I'm in a big predicament. I'm in a big problem. He could have even maybe said something like this, has God forgotten me? Maybe you felt that way at some time in your life, or maybe you felt that way. Where's God? And again, those are questions that we can answer quickly. God is everywhere, and no, God has not forgotten you. God has never forgotten anything. But in the human side of things, we could come to that conclusion. Look at verse number, or Joseph could have come to that conclusion. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, Joseph is not from Egypt. This is not his city of residence. This is not his culture. This is not his language spoken. This isn't anything familiar to him at all. And he's a teenager. Let's remember these things, okay? And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's a very powerful statement that you read several times. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to learn more about Joseph's life, and may it incorporate into our own. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Joseph one day was sent by his father, just quickly reviewing, sent by his father to go check on his brothers. And in the midst of that journey of checking on his brothers did not like him whatsoever. We talked a little bit about that. And so his brothers captured him. The first thing that they wanted to do was what? Kill him. They wanted to kill him. And we're going to kill our brother. We're tired of his dreams. We're tired of his coat of many colors. We're tired of his, his favoritism that our dad plays with him. And so let's just eliminate him. We'll make up a story and it'll all be over. But Reuben stepped in and saved the day. And of course, God in his sovereignty knew that as well. But anyway, Reuben steps in and saves the day. And so Joseph's down in this pit in a holding tank, if you will, for a little while his brothers are having a lunch. They're having lunch. The Bible says that they're eating lunch while he's down in the pit and figuring out what they're going to do with him. And so they give him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites then take him down to Egypt and they sell him to Potiphar. So, here's a teenager who left home one day, and within a day or so, give or take, maybe several days, he's now a slave. He left home in a very, I like to use the word posh, I don't know if that translates, but he left home in a very posh setting. I mean, he was his dad's favorite. Maybe he didn't have to do anything. Maybe he had to work hard. I don't know. But he did have to do what his dad told him, and he followed that. But he had it pretty easy. Next thing you know, he's a slave, this man named Potiphar. You know, I think about this sometimes, that when I think about Joseph's life, you know, we go about our day every day. We leave, you know, he left home to obey his dad. Think about it. He was obeying his father. And in the midst of obeying his father, his whole life changed. Just like that. He left home with a plan. Well, that plan wasn't what was coming. He left home with an idea in mind. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to check on my brothers. And then I'm going to come back home. And I'm going to do what I do in the evening. It's going to be a great day. He never made it home. Never made it home. What a challenging thing for a teenager, for an adult for that matter. So I'd like to speak to you this evening on that theme, never alone. Here's the first thought. Number one, we are never alone in the hour of rejection. We are never alone in the hour of rejection. Look at chapter 37 quickly. Chapter 37, and I'm not going to read all of these verses. We've looked at them in previous lessons. But if you just look at verse 13 and onward, you're going to see from 13 to 28 the story of what I just told you about how they wanted to kill him. Look in verse number, let's see here, verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to what? Slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Verse 21, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. So Reuben saves the day. And he said, let's not shed any blood. Verse 22, let's throw him in the pit. And so forth and so on. Verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. So easily here, Joseph, we could definitely say that Joseph was experiencing some serious rejection. His own flesh and blood rejected him. He is finding out what his brothers are doing. They are finding out how they can kill him. He doesn't know that when he's walking up to them, but that's what's happening here. Now, you would think that as he's coming up to his brothers, although I'm sure there would have been a little bit of attention when he was telling them these dreams, but you would think that he would have been received by his family. Well, for some strange reason, and we know the reason now, so again, remember, Joseph doesn't have Genesis. We have Genesis to read and then read at the end of the book where he says, hey, you guys thought it was evil, but God meant it for good. We can read that, but here's Joseph in the pit being rejected by his brothers, 17, 18 years old. What's going through his mind? I know what would be going through mine. What happened? What's going on? This is not how it's supposed to be. And maybe, am I ever going to see my dad again? Am I ever going to see my family again? Am I ever going to have be back home again? These things must have been going through his mind. Well, Joseph had never seen Egypt before. We know that. Joseph did not speak the language. He would eventually do that. Joseph did not know their customs. Think of this now. Joseph left the security of his home to be faced with the possibility of never seeing home again. He was rejected. Nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to be disliked. There's nobody here, if you were being honest, that you would say, I just love being rejected. Nobody likes that. Joseph was rejected by those who were supposed to love him. You know what? Sometimes we can be rejected by those who are supposed to love us. You know, a dad is supposed to love his wife. A husband is supposed to love his wife, excuse me. A husband is supposed to love his wife. A wife is supposed to love her husband. You know, sometimes they can reject one another. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but there's many people in this room, and I'm not being unkind, but you've been influenced and affected by divorce. It's never God's original plan. By the way, it doesn't mean you're a second-class citizen either. But rejection is not, but you know what? Hey, there's people in this room tonight that if we went and we asked you, so tell me about your relationship with your dad and mom. How was that? Not everyone in here would have a story that would be all rosy and fun and kind. There would be some, again, that would say, yeah, it's not a very good story. You see, even those who are supposed to love us sometimes reject us. I'm talking about humanly speaking. Everyone in here, you may have a story or you may know of someone who has a story. Joseph here was rejected by the ones who were supposed to be loving him and protecting him. See, rejection is not uncommon now either. You know, God allows everything for a purpose. And I look at this and I know the purpose because I know Joseph had to be in Egypt. But again, Joseph did not know that he had to be in Egypt. That was the last place he wanted to be, was Egypt. I'd like to be in Canaan. See, God allowed this in Joseph's life for a purpose. And God may allow something in your life for a purpose, in my life for a purpose. Remember, God never rejects you. You see, we are never alone in the hour of rejection. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, part of that verse says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You might be rejected by a family member. You know what? Sometimes we're rejected by family members when we take a stand for Christ. They'll say, you know what? You're just a little too fanatical for me. You're just, something's wrong with you. You want to read your Bible? You want to pray? You want to go to church however many times the doors are open? I mean, you want to go out and tell people about Jesus, whoever Jesus is? Is he even real? I don't even know. But you know what? It's all that can happen. I'm so thankful that when rejection comes, we can say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone when somebody rejects me for my faith. I'm not alone when someone says, you know what, you're just too weird, you're just too fanatical. No, my God is with me. He will never fail me. He will never forsake me. And we can find great hope in that in the life of Joseph as we see him in the pit. He's not alone in the pit. In the caravan, he's not alone there, but God is with him there. God was already in Potiphar's house before Joseph got there. Think about that. He knows the end from the beginning. So we are not alone when we are in the hour of rejection. Number two, we are never alone in the hour of uncertainty. In the hour of uncertainty. This is definitely an uncertain time for Joseph. He has no idea. I mean, everything was probably laid out for him. And now it all changes. How many of us have ever experienced something like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. Where maybe a day was laid out, a week was laid out, a year was laid out, or your life was laid out, and then all of a sudden, there was uncertainty. All of a sudden, a health issue. All of a sudden, this happened. Or all of a sudden, this over here, or this over here. You know what Proverbs 27:1 says? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'd like to think I have 2020 all planned. I'd like to think I have, let's just talk about February. I'd like to think I have February planned. Oh, wait a minute. Let's think about this week. I'd like to think I have this week planned. You know what? That's not how God works. My plan that I have written down on my little paper calendar right there, nothing like a paper calendar. I have things written on those for a lot of things. You know what? That doesn't matter. God doesn't look at my paper calendar and say, oh, okay, that's what we're going to do. I can come to a day and I can meet uncertainty head on and not know what's coming. But you know, here's the good news. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You're not alone. We're not alone in the hour of uncertainty. Look at Genesis. Let's read Genesis 39:1 again. Okay, quite a turn of events. Genesis 39:1, let it sink in. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Do you know what that means, right? He's a slave. the coat of many colors wearing Joseph is now a slave. The coat of many colors Joseph, dreamer boy, is now a slave. Boy, life changed. Life changed in an instant. Now it is very uncertain. Joseph ends up in Potiphar's house. Now think about this, as the Bible says here. Let's think about Potiphar for a minute. Potiphar is the captain of Pharaoh's guard. There is a group of soldiers that are designated to guard Pharaoh. Special forces, right? Now, there is one man who is in charge of these soldiers. It's Potiphar. He's the captain of the guard. I don't know what you think about when you think of Potiphar, but I think when I think of Potiphar, I think of a very rough man. Maybe he was a teddy bear on the inside. I don't think so. I think of a very strong man, and actually we're going to show you why I don't think so in a minute later on, because there's a word in there that'll show us that. But I think of a very rough, tough guy. He's in charge of the soldiers who are in charge of watching and guarding Pharaoh. Again, his whole setting has changed in his life from being daddy's boy to Pharaoh's boy. Uncertainty. The surroundings have definitely changed. This Hebrew slave now came all the way from the land of Canaan to the land of Egypt. It was an hour of uncertainty. Look at verse 32, though, or verse 39, chapter 39, verse 2, pardon me. Chapter 39, verse 2. In the hour of uncertainty, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. In the hour of uncertainty, in the hour of rejection, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now, again, I love to read the Bible stories and the Bible events, but you know what? They are not just for Joseph. I believe in the hour of rejection, the Lord is with you and with me. I believe in the hour of uncertainty that the Lord is with you and the Lord is with me. Look at verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord, what? Was with him. It didn't take long for old tough Potiphar to realize this. I got a really good deal with this guy. I paid for this kid to come work for me. Boy, I got my whatever monetary they used. I got my money's worth. There's something different about. I mean, this boy, he works hard. I mean, this boy follows instructions. This boy does the job. This boy finishes the job. This is a respectful young man. He recognized that the Lord was with him. Look at the rest of the verse. And that the Lord made all that he did to what? To prosper in his hand. Wow. I like this thought. Joseph didn't move into Potiphar's house by himself. Joseph brought God with him. Now, God was already there, but you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is Potiphar looks at Joseph and watches him. We don't know how long this has taken. It's in one verse for us, but we don't know how much time has gone by here. Could have been days, could have been a week, 2 months, we don't know. I'm just saying that when Joseph came in, he brought God with him. And the Bible says here that Joseph's God blessed everything that he did. And guess what that meant? Everything that Potiphar was involved in was blessed too. Why? Because God was with Joseph in the hour of uncertainty. Look at verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. In whose sight? In whose sight? Potiphar. And what does it say? And he served him. You know, look at the attitude of Joseph. Boy, I got rejected by my brothers. They took my really cool jacket and ripped it up. They had lunch while I was in the pit. I mean, I could smell the lunch, that sandwich they were eating. It smelled so good, and they didn't even offer me any. They sold me to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take me down here to Potiphar. I don't speak the language. I don't know the culture. I mean, you know, he could have just been bad attitude one day after the next. But no, that's not what we see. We see that Joseph served Potiphar and found grace in his sight. Notice, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Wow! What a turn of events! It went from uncertainty to certainty. At one moment, it was like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm a slave now. And now turn the page. And after he's faithful and he's a servant, and now he's number two in the house, basically. Minus Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar. God's been blessing him. Why? Because we are never alone in the hour of uncertainty. We are never alone in the hour of rejection. Number three. We are never alone in the hour of temptation. And you know what's coming for Joseph if you know the story. You don't know the story, we're going to look at it. We looked at it a few weeks ago. By the way, you don't want to be alone in the hour of temptation. Because you and I, if we're alone in the hour of temptation, we are done. It's over. You know? As a Christian, you're never alone in the hour of temptation. The Holy Spirit's with you. Look at verse number 7, please. And it came to pass after these things. I don't know how much time has gone by. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, just these things. That his master's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. In a very inappropriate way, of course. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He doesn't even pay attention anymore. He trusts me. He trusts me what I do in this house. Wow. And hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Hello. How then can I do this great wickedness? Now remember, he's in Egypt, a pagan land. He's not in Canaan anymore. He's not with his daddy Jacob. He's surrounded by heathenism. And sure enough, maybe that's what they did, is what she was wanting to do and offered to do for him and get him involved in it. And he said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Wow. You see, our enemy knows every one of our weaknesses. And our enemy can take a temptation and combine it with our weakness and put them together. And he can cook them up for you and cook them up for me. He puts them together, weakness, temptation, puts them together and presents it to us. Maybe this was a weakness. I don't know. I just know this to be the case. That he has a strategy to bring about the destruction of my life. He has a strategy to bring about a destruction of your life. You see, I love what Joseph says here. I cannot sin against God. This tells me something. Joseph knew God was there. It didn't matter that he was in Egypt. It didn't matter that he was in Potiphar's house. It didn't matter any of this. He knew that God was watching. Oh, my friends, how would it change our life? How would it change the way we live in the hour of temptation in this way to realize on an accountability side that God is watching, but also on a delivering side that we have God there to help us to say, no, no, we're not going there. We're not heading there. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Many of you know that verse. Let's go look at it quickly if you could, please. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Now, had Joseph sinned, he would have been sinning against Potiphar. He would have even been sinning against Potiphar's wife. But most importantly, he would have been sinning against a holy God. And that's the case for you, and that's the case for me tonight when we sin. It's against a holy God. And God says, you know what, Ben? I haven't created you. I did not save you to live in sin. No, I created you to realize that in the hour of temptation, I'm there to help you say no. You don't have to sit there and say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. You can talk to me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. You're not the first person to be tempted. We won't be the last. Look at that next statement. But God is in the hour of temptation, we are not alone. I just can't get victory over this. Yes, you can. You're not alone in the hour of temptation. It's just who I am. It's just what I do. No, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When the hour of temptation comes, with yielded to the Spirit of God, we can say no every time. Do you realize that? Every time you can say no if you're yielded to the Spirit of God. You see, it's when I'm not yielded to the Spirit of God that temptation comes and I fail. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. God, how do I get out of this one? I need your help. Okay, I'm here. You're not alone. You're not alone in the hour of temptation, that you may be able to bear it. Here's the key to overcoming temptation. Realize God is faithful. Yes, read your Bible, pray. I'm not belittling those. I'm just saying, for me, I look at this, I think the way to overcome temptation is not to say, I can do it, but realize God is faithful. He's there. And if I will rely on Him, He's going to deliver me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Brother Flanders was giving us that verse at least once, but I think I heard him talk about it twice. Flee means the devil runs away from us. How do you resist the devil? Realize God's faithful. Trust God to help you. Joseph did it, so can we. The Lord was with Joseph when he was tempted, and the same Lord is with you, the same Lord is with me. I have the same opportunity to overcome temptation as Joseph had. Because we're never alone in the hour of temptation. Number four. And lastly, we are never alone in the hour of disappointment. The word disappointment means to defeat the fulfillment of hopes and plans and other ambitions and things like that. Joseph was the model servant for Potiphar. He was the model slave. He did everything right, as far as we see. He's now worked his way up, and now it's about to change again. He was honorable, he was hardworking, he resisted the temptation, and what does that get him? It gets him to be lied against. Think of that. That's a disappointment. I left home one day, ended up in a pit, ended up in a caravan, ended up in Potiphar's house, ended up being a slave, did whatever my master told me to do, worked my way up, got things going again. There was some certainty. I said no twice, took off running the second time. Now comes a disappointment. Now comes a disappointment. Look at verse 20. Or verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife. Now his wife made up this story about Joseph. You can read that in verses 17 and 18. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake in him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now again, this is the captain of the guard. And when his wrath got kindled, look out. And notice this one word. The word took in verse 20. And Joseph's master took him. I looked up that word took. It means to lay hold of, to take and carry along. I don't know if he picked him up. I don't know. But I don't think he cared about what Joseph felt like when he grabbed a hold of him. In his rage, in his anger, and he took him to prison. Why? Because he did right. Because he ran, now he's in prison. Because he got out of there and resisted temptation, now he's in prison. What a disappointment. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I made it through my family rejecting me. I made it through the uncertainty. And I made it through the temptation. And now I'm just, what a disappointment. You know what? Look what it says in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Because we are never alone in the hour of disappointment. After everything Joseph did to be a blessing to his master, he is now sitting in prison. What a disappointment. Verses 21 to 23. But the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 21, and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, well, what do you know, all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now he's in charge in the prison. What a guy. No, what a Lord. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him and had that which he did to prosper. I submit to you tonight, as Joseph was on his way to Egypt, the Lord was with him. As Joseph was a servant in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. As Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. In fact, as I said earlier, I like this thought. The Lord was waiting at each place and situation that Joseph found himself. Think about that. Where is God in this? He's already been there. He was waiting on you. He was waiting on me. He was waiting on Joseph in the pit. He was there with him, waiting. He was there when the rejection came. He was there when the uncertainty came. He was there when the accusations came. He was there when the temptation came. He was there in the disappointment. He's already there. He's waiting for us. Why? Because the Lord is with us as his children. We are never alone. Isaiah 58:9, the Bible says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Already here. Maybe your children at times wondered in the dark if you were still there, because it was dark. You were now gone and you disappeared. You know, I'm by myself. I'm in the dark. Dad, mom, daddy, mommy, we're here. And it's that voice that brings the comfort to a young child. Okay. Well, here the prophet Isaiah says, all you have to do is cry and the Lord will answer. All you have to do is call and he will say, here I am. We're never alone. We're never alone. The Lord is already there at your next disappointment. When's your next disappointment going to be? I'm not walking around looking for it. Let me tell you that right now. I don't want you to think I'm some super spiritual guy. I just can't wait to be disappointed because God's going to be there. No, I don't live like that. That next rejection, it's coming. I can't wait to be rejected because God's going to be there. No, I don't live like that either. But I know this. There is nothing that can happen and come my way that God's not already there. Because we're never alone.